back here and he's also in the cinema house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Milton Keynes. Someone said that if I've not ministered in this church, I've not ministered anywhere. So, if you don't mind, I'll put it on my resume now. They ask me, where have you been? I say, yeah, I've been to Milton Keynes. Amen. Let's open our Bibles, please, to Luke 19. Luke 19. I bring you greetings from Jesus House, Baltimore. It's a place where dreams come true. I'm praying that your dreams will come true. In the name of Jesus. Luke 19, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke 19. And I'm going to be reading from verses 1 to 10. It's a story we know very well. Bible said he entered Jericho, and he was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up the sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way, talking about Jesus. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he ran, hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all grumbled that he has gone to the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to your house, since he's also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Praise the Lord. Today, I'll be talking about what I call reposition yourself. Let me tell your neighbor, reposition yourself. If you can look for another neighbor and just let me tell them one more time and say, reposition yourself. Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Father, we want to thank you. The entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. This morning we ask, O Lord, that your word will lighten our paths. We pray by your spirit you will give us understanding. In the mighty name of Jesus. When we leave here today, Lord, let it be said, once again we have met with you. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Praise the Lord. Solomon said that a prudent man sees trouble and he hides himself. A wise man sees trouble and he hides himself. He says, but the simple, that is the foolish, sees it and he just passes by. It's amazing that many times in life, some people see trouble and they just walk into it. And you are saying to yourself, what were you thinking? Didn't you see it? A man came to me about 2 years ago. And he said, Pastor, I have a problem. I said, what's your problem? He said, I've been fired. He said, from where? And he mentioned the company. And I asked him, I said, how many years did you work there? He said, I've been there for 18 years. I said, my goodness, that's a long time. He said, I know. He said, but my greatest regret is that I've been in this church for at least 6 years. And you've been talking to me every Sunday, but I didn't do anything about my life. It's okay. So be in a company for 20 years, 25 years, retire there. But I sincerely hope that something good is happening to you there. Because by the time they were ready to fire him, his 18 years did not matter again. I don't know how it operates in London or in UK. But I know in America, in 18 years, if you're going to be fired, you are paid 2 months' salary and that's the end. Oh, yeah. God help you if you have a 401k plan. So I said to him, what do you want to do now? Because whether you like it or not, you have to do something about your situation. He said, Pastor, the school that I didn't want to go, I have to go. I've had people say, I'm 48 years old. If I go to school, it's going to take me another 4 years. I'll be 52. If you don't go, you'll still be 52 in 4 years. But the difference is that you might be a 52 that is struggling. That's the difference. A simple man, prudent man, rather. Solomon says, I see trouble. He looks at trouble and he hides himself. Because the African proverb says that there is a particular war that does not kill the crippled man. It's the crippled man that is wise. Hallelujah. What does it mean to reposition yourself? To reposition yourself is to change your current situation. Position, rather. It is to change your current position. It is to relocate. Or you can say it's to shift. It's to go into something that is new. Or it's also to change your image. I repeat. To reposition means to change your current position. To resituate or relocate. To shift or move into a different position. It's no news whether we like it or not that the economy all over the world is not the best right now. In particular, in Europe, and the last time I checked, MK is still part of Europe. Hallelujah. So what do I do when the challenges are not getting easier? What do I do when the competition is not letting off? What do I do when there are so many people in the market looking for the same job and the same position that I'm trying to get? I have to reposition myself. Let me tell your neighbor one more time. Please reposition yourself. Oh, I hope I'm talking to someone this morning. In the story we read, Zacchaeus, Bible said there was a rich man. So which means to reposition oneself is not only about riches or money. He was already rich. Bible said that he was a tax collector. But there was a void in his life. He wanted to see Jesus. Not for what Jesus was going to give him. Not for the miracles that Jesus had been performing. But the Bible says that he wanted to see Jesus for who he was. I hope you have come this morning to see Jesus for who he is. Because the Bible said that children of Israel, all they knew were the gifts of God. All they knew were the blessings of God. But Moses knew his way. So Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. But he had a challenge. He was a short man. And if you know anything about short men, vertically challenged, I'm telling you, is that many times, they are just angry people. I'm not looking anywhere right now. I'm just talking. And God knows I don't know anybody in this church, I hope. But I'm just saying. So Zacchaeus was short. He had a problem. But in the story, as we go on, we will see that Zacchaeus did not allow his problem to limit him. Hallelujah. The Bible said I wanted to see Jesus, but he could not. Why? Because of the press. I'm not just saying because of the crowd. But he did something about the situation. Zacchaeus did not make excuses. I'm tired of people when they continue to make excuses for their failure. It's because my mother is not there for me. It's because my father is not there for me. If they are not there for you, can you please be there for yourself? Is anybody hearing me this morning? So what do I do in order to reposition myself? What do I do? Number one, we'll look at about 6 or 7 points. Number one, you must be convinced that you are not where you need to be. You must be convinced that you are not where you need to be. The sons of the prophet, they came to Elisha and said, this place we are in is too small for us. Until you are convinced that where you are is not where you are supposed to be, there is nothing or nobody that can move you from that place. Is anybody getting what I'm talking about? You have to have a conviction. I know life is a journey. Some of us are where we ought to be right now in the course of our journey in life. But it's not everybody that is where they are supposed to be. And until you know that where you are is not where you're supposed to be, you might get comfortable in that place. And the challenge of that, the downside to that, is that you might be so comfortable that you don't do anything about your situation. Let me ask your neighbor, are you where you ought to be right now? Oh, I'm not talking about coming to church. I'm talking about in life. Are you where you are supposed to be? He was convinced that where he was, there's no way that he could see Jesus. Zacchaeus knew that if he stood where he was, there's no way that he can see Jesus. And he said to himself, I must do something about my situation. Hallelujah. He said, I must do something about my situation. He said, I must check myself about where I am because I know that where I am right now is not where I'm supposed to be. Until we get that assurance and conviction, it's going to be difficult for us to push forward. Hallelujah. So what did he do? He did something about the situation. And that takes me to the number 2 point. Zacchaeus did something. Even though you know that you're not supposed to be where you're not supposed to be where you are, you must do something. In verse 4, the Bible says that he ran up a sycamore tree. He did something about the situation. He ran. He evaluated his chances of seeing Jesus, and he knew that there was no way he could see him because he was a short man. He did not complain. He did not cry. He did not tell the people, can you please shift? Can you please make a way for me? He didn't say anything. He just knew that if he was going to go forward in life, he has to do something about the situation. Hallelujah. People have asked me many times, hey, Pastor Tola, what is the source of your motivation in life? I said, poverty. If you have ever been poor in life, you don't need any cheerleader to motivate you. Poverty alone should motivate you. Because if God helps you and you are able to get out of poverty, when you think about poverty, you need to get up and do something with your life. Is anybody hearing me? And I've seen a bit of poverty. I have seen a bit of it. So I don't need a cheerleader. They'll say, hey, it's morning time. Can you wake up? It's time to go to job. Oh, no. I know it myself. I know. I've experienced it. And it wasn't that my mother was lazy. No. I've experienced poverty. So I understand what it is to be motivated. Because I'm not just looking at, oh, I just want to be rich in life. I want to make it in life. No. I don't want to be poor. I've already left that place. I don't want to go back to that place again. It's not a place to be. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. What did he do? He ran up the sycamore tree. He did something different. For you to reposition your business, you must do something different. Everybody's doing what you are doing. There's no value added. If you are doing what everybody else is doing, nobody will be interested in your business. Hallelujah. In Genesis 27 verse 40, Isaac prayed for Esau when he came back. And he said, my father, is there no prayer left for you, for me? And he prayed. He said to him that you, Esau, you will serve your brother. He said, your brother's hand will be upon you. He said, you will serve him all the days of your life. He said, but it shall come to pass when you are tired of serving him, that you will break yourself away from him. Hallelujah. There are 2 points in that prayer. Number one is the point of realization. That when you realize that you've been serving your brother for too long, then you do something about the situation. What do? You break your hold. Many times what we do in church is that we stop at the point of revelation alone. And we never go to the mode of action. Say, yes, I have a revelation. God spoke to me. I'm going to be blessed. He spoke to me. This year is the year of marching forward. This year is the year of lifting up. This year is the... I say, I know. Can we please see what you are trying to do so that you can get to that year and that level? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Esau did something about the situation. Let's check out where we are. And let's begin to do something about our situation. Zacchaeus ran up that tree. Why? Because he wanted to have a vantage position to be able to see Jesus Christ. I don't know how far you are in life, but are you really running? Number three, what do I do to reposition myself? Zacchaeus, in the same verse 4, he added value to his position. There to see better. He added value to his position. I've had people say, oh, I've not been promoted at work because my boss does not like me. Maybe. But people don't argue with results. You might not like my face. You might not like my accent. But even a blind man will see that this is a result. Nobody argues with good results. Is anybody getting what I'm talking about today? When you add value to people's lives, when we add value to our businesses, when we add value to the church, when we add value to the ministry, I'm telling you, it's going to be difficult to be ignored. Didn't you see that when Jesus got there, he stood and he looked up. Who told Jesus that he was standing there? When you add value to yourself, there is no way you will not be recognized. Hallelujah. People have said to me, oh, Pastor, I've not been around for 1 month and nobody asks after me. I say, oh, my goodness, I'm sorry. The reason is that they were not adding any value. The day someone that is adding value is away from church, everybody knows. They say, what happened to that sister at the door that is always smiling when welcoming people? We haven't seen her for a week or two. Pastor, have you called her? Have you checked out what's happening to her? Why? Because they missed her. Because she's adding value. When people don't ask after you in church for a month, oh, you better check. Oh, everybody's quiet right now. I'm telling you, you better check. You're adding value. When you add value, even in giving, they will know the day you are not around. Because something will happen to the offering. And they say, what happened to brother so-and-so today? We didn't see his check. What happened to sister so-and-so today? You know, when we started church, for any new church, it's always difficult to talk about money. But there was a sister. She was not attending our church. She came only once. And she said to me, I just have a burden for this church, even though I don't belong to this church. But I'm going to help in whatever way I can. And she was always sending her tithe to our church. Her tithe, I can never forget, $326. It made a lot of difference. $326, it made a lot of difference. She never came to church, she would just mail it. I always looked forward to mail. Why? Because even though you can preach in church on Sunday, you still have to pay bills Monday to Friday. Yeah. A lot of people, they spiritualize church so much that you are wondering, oh, okay. We came to this cinema house, it was free. Excuse me? Oh, yeah, we bought this microphone, it was praying in tongues. Hello? No. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. I came from London this morning and I came with a car and I know that that car ran on gas and the money was paid before they were able to fuel the car. Is anybody hearing me today?
Because in church, I tell you, we just play the ostrich and we just put our head in the ground and it's like, doesn't matter what's happening. Jesus is in the house. The Holy Spirit will clean the chairs. Oh no. The church is real. Let me tell you, neighbor, please, the church is real. I'm telling you, it is real. It's time to get real in the church. Is anybody hearing what I'm talking about today? Talking about value. Zacchaeus added value to his position. He added value to himself. I know you have a first degree, you have a second degree. But please, can you add value to what you do? Because there's a way you bring your matter to the table that everybody knows that there's something different about your work. It's adding value. It's adding value. I went to a tailor. I wanted to sew some clothes in Nigeria. The guy said, sit down, please. How you doing? And I'll say, these are the clothes that I... He said, sit down, sir. Don't worry, I will talk about the clothes later. Sit down, what do you want to drink? That was strange. So I told him, I wanted the malt. And he went ahead and he got the malt. I had not even given him the business, he gave me a malt. I knew he was going to charge me later with the money or the malt. But at least he added value. Where do you think I'll go the next time I'm looking for a tailor? At least he added value. And that's the challenge. Many unbelievers are adding value. And I have a problem. Why we come to church and we don't add value? Why is it that the unbeliever are always getting ahead of things? And it's the Christian that is busy praying and not adding value. There's nothing wrong in prayer. But after you have prayed, can you please add value to your life? Somebody say, I will add value to my life. Don't let anybody devalue you. Add value to your marriage. Add value to your children. Add value to the church. Add value to the ministry. Add value to everything you do and you lay your hands upon. Because the more value you add, the more people will be attracted to you. Hallelujah. I travel a lot. I preach in many churches. And I want to let you know that there are some churches you go to. I know they are spiritual, but you don't want to go back there again. Because nobody's adding value. There are some places you go that you don't want to go back again. Because you feel like there's no value. And I have nothing against them. But I want to look around for people that will add value to me. I want to look around for people that I will add value to. I don't want to be in a relationship that whenever I see you, I'm drained out of energy. I want to be in a relationship that you give to me, I give back to you. We add value to each other so that at the end of the day, we know that this thing is mutually beneficial to us. Let me tell your neighbor, please add value. Oh, let me tell them one more time. Add one value. Praise the Lord. You need something extra over competition. He's talking about value. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. He said, Luke is with me. He was talking to Timothy. He said, but bring Mark, because he's useful for me, for ministry. Nobody's going to ask you to bring anyone that is not useful to them. He said, bring Mark for me. Why? Because he's useful to me. Be faithful by adding value. Why? Because Solomon said in Proverbs 25, verse 19. He said, confidence in an unfaithful man is like a toothache and a bone out of joint. Have you ever had a toothache before? I'm telling you, it's tough. So let's add value. Number three. Hallelujah. Number four? Okay, number four. Still talking about verse four. He ran up that sycamore tree. He did something that others who were there did not think of. He was creative. For you to reposition yourself, you must be what? Creative. Hallelujah. You must be creative. Why? Because don't be the last person that will get it. You see, when we were young, water was not running from our taps. So it takes at least 1 hour to go and get some water from the public tap. And that's if you don't come back wounded. Okay. Nobody really understands my experience. Am I the only one here?
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
I grew up in an area where you have to go to the public tap. And you might be there for an hour or two. And I grew up with a single mother who is watching time for you and saying, what took you so long? And it's only the strong that can get water where I grew up from. Hallelujah. Oh, it was the days. It wasn't the days of you know, I don't know what they use right now, all these plastic, you know, containers that they use. No, it was the days of buckets. Buckets. So you get there, the strong man comes in. And he takes yours away, and he puts his own there. And unless you are ready for a fight, you don't do anything about it. So I grew up fighting since I was young. Because you have to fight to survive. So we devised a method, because washing dishes in our house is always very tough and challenging. So we devised this rule that whoever hits last will wash the dishes. And if you are in our house on holiday or vacation and you don't understand the rule, oh man, God help you, you are dead. So as soon as you are given the food, why? Because it's a race. It's an Olympic race. Why? Because you don't want to be the last that will get the joke in the room. Because by the time you are done and you go and get some water, by the time you are back, all the dishes, they are as hard as everything. So you have to soak there for another 1 hour before you wash. So by the time you are done, after lunch ended at 2, you might not finish doing the dishes until about 5 or 6. You are almost ready for dinner. Hallelujah. Don't be the last to get it. It was creative. He was not the only short man I know that was there. There must have been many short men there who had challenges with seeing Jesus. But he was the first one that was creative. And he said to himself, if everybody's hanging around this place, I must do something about myself. Why? Because 4 men came to Jesus, I think in Mark chapter 2, and they brought their friend. And the Bible said that they carried the friend who could not carry himself. And they looked at the place, and there was no way they could enter, because everywhere was locked up. At the door, there was no room. But they said to themselves, rather than stay at the door, we will go to the roof. And they went to the roof. Why? Because there are very few people that can go to the roof. He was creative. Have you heard of some people say to themselves, when someone starts a business, say, and I was thinking of that business. Seriously? Seriously? You were thinking, how come you didn't do? When we are creative, what happens is that everybody begins to play catch up with you. Hallelujah. He ran up the place. While many were still crying about their issues, he ran up the place. Jacob said to Laban, he said, let me go so that I can provide for my family. And Laban said, what will I give unto you? He said, don't worry. Just give me every speckled animal amongst your animals. He looked at all his animals, Laban, and he said, this boy. Yeah, that's a deal. But he was creative. He put dotted dots on a stick, and he put it by the river. And each time every of the animals got pregnant and they came for water and they looked at the river, what was on the stick was being transferred to them. That tells me that whatever you look at more in life is transferred into your life. Whenever you look at negative, the negativity transferred to you. When you look at the positivity, it transferred to you. And the Bible says that as they were giving birth, they were giving back to animals that had speckles. And Laban came and said, my God, what happened there? He was creative. When you are creative, you are ahead of others. Hallelujah. Abraham was crying, God, what will you give me in Genesis chapter 15? Since I go childless, God said, stop crying. Can you get out of your tent? Let me tell your neighbor, please, can you get out of your tent? Oh, tell them one more time. Can you please get out of your tent? What does it mean to get out of your tent? Can you please get out of where you are comfortable and go somewhere else so that you can be creative? God said to him, get out of the tent. Look up. And he looked at the sky. God said, as they are, can you count them? He said, I can't count them. He said, that is how your children will be. You could have stayed in the tent, and the best you could have looked at in the tent is the ceiling of the tent. But God said, get out. Can you please go and find something that is bigger than yourself so that you can be motivated and challenged? Every country I travel to, I look for churches, big churches, and I just go into those churches. I don't want to talk to the pastor. If I see the pastor, praise God. If I don't, that's all right. Let me just look around the church. Let me just look around and be inspired by greatness. Because until you get out of your tent, you think your tent is the biggest. I know you are doing well right now, but you need to get out of your tent. A young man came to me in our church and said to me, Pastor, oh, they've asked me in our place of work that I must name my prize because they want to retain me at all costs. I said, I love this. He said, what do I do? How much do I ask for? I said, go and ask them for $500,000 a year. He said, that's a lot. And I know right now you are trying to convert it, right? Yeah. I said, go and ask. That's about maybe £300,000. Some people are earning that money, you know. Yeah, much more. And if you check them, they don't have two heads. Yeah. Because there's a way that you are broke in life and you think everybody else is broke. Some people are not broke. Oh, yeah. And they're not stealing. So don't think everybody that has money is stealing. So this guy went and he said, Pastor, that's the law. I said, go and ask them. They were the ones who told you, name your prize. I said, go and tell them. So he went there. But he couldn't get out of his tent because he had a tent in his mind. He couldn't get out of that tent. Is anybody hearing me today? So he went there and he told them a figure. Oh, 2 months later or so, I saw him in the lobby of the church. I said, hey, what happened? Has the money come? He said, Pastor, yeah, they paid. When I looked at his face, I knew he didn't ask for the amount. I said, how much did you ask for? He said, I asked them for 300. And they give you 300. He said, yes. I said, can you see yourself? If you ask me and you give me a blank check, you better have a deep pocket. Please don't let me come to your house and be saying, oh, Pastor, what do you want to eat? You better tell me what you have. Because once you say, what do you want? It's a blank check. And I hope you can afford it. Hallelujah. He did something creative. This man could not be creative with his mind. So he asked for 300,000 and they paid him 300,000. Praise the Lord. Number 5. What do I do to reposition myself? You must be ready to work twice as hard as you are doing right now. How many people know that it's not easy to climb a tree? He wanted to see Jesus. And he ran up a sycamore tree. Because the Bible did not tell us how this man looks more than his height, you are allowed to use your imagination. So let me use my imagination for a minute. Remember, he's a tax collector. And I come from Nigeria. So I can equate him to a customs agent. And the only picture I can see of a customs agent that is short is that he has a big tummy, he's big, he's not just fat, he's obese really. So you can imagine a short man that is obese running up a tree just because he wanted to have a vantage point. It wasn't easy. If you know anything about sycamore trees, they don't have so many branches. So how did he climb? And he was able to be comfortable there until Jesus came by. You want to go far in life and you don't want to walk? Where did you get that from? Jesus said that my Father walk. He said, "He that too, I also do what? I walk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You must be ready to walk twice as hard. Because you are not the only one that is aspiring for greatness. There are many people around you who are aspiring for greatness. And you must be prepared to be persistent until you break forth. The judge said concerning the widow, he said that if I don't do something about this woman, she will not leave me alone. Let me just do something about it. Some people say, Pastor, it's not that easy. It's not that easy. Oh, if it's easy, everybody will have been doing it. Hallelujah. He must have looked ridiculous to everybody around the place. But Zacchaeus did not even let that one affect him. He ran up the place
And the Bible says that when he got there, Jesus saw him. Somebody say, I must walk. Oh, let's say it one more time. Number six. In verse 8, when Jesus came to his house, he said to Jesus, he said, everything that I've taken that is not okay from anybody, he said, I'm going to restore back to them. What did he do? He put his life in order. If you are going to reposition yourself, you must put your life in order. Hallelujah. There are many times we pray in church, and there's nothing wrong with prayer meetings and praying, please. I'm a prayer person and I pray, but put your life in order. God does not bless disorder. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, Bible says that God created the heaven and the earth. But before he did that, before there was light, the Bible said that the earth was what? Gross darkness was over the base of the deep. Everywhere was dark. And the Spirit of God over and around. What was the Spirit doing? Putting everything in order. And God said, let there be light. There was light. Let's put our lives in order. Put your finances in order. Put your marriage in order if you're going to reposition yourself for greatness in life. Hallelujah. I've had stories of people, if not just stories, people that I know, how they've messed themselves up. There's a friend who was living in New York many years, and he had no papers. Now, if you don't have papers, and you have been given tickets, and you don't pay your tickets, you will meet yourself in Murtala Mohammed. This one, you don't need the devil to be doing you. You are doing yourself. Hallelujah. So he parked one day. And the police guy looked at his tags and said, let me check out this tag. And they checked out his tag. And they found out that the tag has been suspended. And the guy waited for him to come. And as soon as they came, they said, oh, you didn't have the car yet. Yeah, it's my car. But this tag has been suspended. By the time they looked him up, he was owing so much money everywhere. And they said, you know what? You can't drive this car from here. So he was arrested from the place. That was the last time he saw his living room. From there, he found himself in Lagos. Why? Because he did not put his life in order. Put your life in order. You have still applied to the Home Office. And you are here to get a reply. And you are fighting your wife every day. The day the policeman comes, that's when they will know that your papers is not okay. Put your life in order. There are some things that we don't need the devil about. It's not the devil. It's not the devil. Let's stop praying that prayer. Even the devil is saying, I don't even know anything about it. Hallelujah. Have you been to the cars of some people? And you are wondering whether hurricane just passed. When you look at the car and say, oh, Pastor, the day I preach this message in our church, every time I want to get into people's car, they say, Pastor, don't come yet. They'll just go and clean the car. And I'm saying, what happened to this car? They say, Pastor, it's your children. Yeah, is there all those? Excuse me? Is that why the car is like this? And those are the things that you look at to be able to see whether someone's life is in order or not. Why would you give a check of 10 pounds? And then your check bounces and you are charged 25 pounds. Put your life in order. It doesn't make any sense. Even the church you are giving money to, we are also charged another 5 pounds. So who is winning here? Everybody is a loser. Come on, tell your neighbor, put your life in order. Hallelujah. I said, rather than give a check that will bounce, please just hold on to your money. If you are not sure of the balance, just hold on to your money. Because that doesn't pay us. It's just paper. You put in the paper, it comes back, we pay $5, you pay $30. At the end of the day, who is better off? Nobody. Hallelujah. When we put our lives in order, it's easier for things to go right. Zacchaeus put his life in order. He had made so much money, but he said to Jesus, he said, everything I've taken from people, I will restore back unto them. I will give it back to them. What was he doing? He was putting his life in order. There's no point in praying in tongues when your life is not in order. So many times, I don't want to be a counselor in church, and my own wife will have run away. As I counsel with you, I want to go and counsel with myself. to put my life in order. Because what will be my testimony? That the pastor who is preaching about marriage, saying put your life in order, his wife just left home and she's not coming back. It's time to put our lives in order. God is not a difficult God. It's time to put our finances in order. Pay the bills that need to be paid. There are some bills you can delay, but don't delay your mortgage. I don't know how it runs there. But in America, I'm telling you, the worst level of wickedness is in America. If they decide to repossess the house, you just go to work and you come back the following day. All your goods are outside and everybody in your neighborhood, as they are going, whatever they see on the pavement that they love, they just pick it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tell them somebody says so and go and check it out. Such that it's when you are coming back home and as you are driving to your house, you see someone carrying a computer. That looks like mine. It's when you get to your doorstep that you realize that indeed it was yours. Because everything, anything that is seen on the pavement, people believe that it's free and you can take a peek from there. I learned that one when I lived in Germany for a while. Because some particular day of the week in Germany, they put the goods out. They call it kaput. And people go around and they scavenge. And I was one of those people scavenging. And yet I was pastor in the church. And I had to go out at night to scavenge for clothes that I would wear. And I was pastor in the church. So don't give me a story about church and missionary work. I've been there. And I know what it is to go to bed without food. Not because you are fasting, but just because there's no food on the table. Is anybody hearing what I'm talking about today? It's time to put our lives in order. In Ezekiel 37, the Bible says that when Ezekiel saw the dry bone, God asked him, can this bone live? He said, the way they're looking, there's no way they can live, but only you know, Lord. And what happened? As he began to prophesy, and as he began to breathe into the bone, the Bible said that bones came onto bone. Why? They were putting structure together. They were putting structure together. Flesh came, sinews came, everything came. And the Bible says that there was a noise. When you begin to put your life in order, there might be noise, but you have to make up your mind you will do it. The noise might be the noise of people not agreeing with you, but you must make up your mind that, no, I will do this. Because where we are going is far. Somebody say, put your life in order. When you look at that, so in Ezekiel 37, you realize that those same bones that were dry, they became a mighty strong army. You might look at yourself right now, you are looking at yourself and you are dry. But you can become a mighty strong army. God said to Gideon, he said, you will defeat the Midianites as one man. There is so much that God has put in you that you can be able to defeat the enemy. And you will do that in the name of Jesus. I said you will do that in the name of Jesus. As I begin to round up, I think that's number 7 we're going to go into now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In the same verse 8, Zacchaeus did something. He changed his attitude. It changes attitude. Attitude is the key. You might be the best in what you do, but if your attitude is not right, it's a problem. You might be the best business person around town. You might be the best computer person in town, but if the attitude is wrong, nobody's going to be blessed. You might have the best voice in the choir, but if your attitude is not right, nobody will be impressed. We might be in the same business, but the attitude we bring to the table is what makes all the difference. I fly 2 airlines in this nation, British Airways and Virgin Atlantic. But there's a world of difference between the 2 of them. There's one with an attitude, as if they paid for your ticket. And there's another one with an attitude, they value your business. If you are discerning in the spirit, you can know the one I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Attitude is the key. If you are going to reposition yourself for greatness, you better have a good attitude. As a pastor, I better have a good attitude. And I tell workers in our church, I said, please, our people, our products, don't diminish anybody. Don't bring them down. The world out there has already beaten them down so much. And they cannot come to church on Sunday and you beat them down again. Please, the least we can do is to encourage and challenge them. Attitude is the key. Nobody is paying them to come to church. So if they come to church, can you please respect them? Oh, no worker, you cannot abuse anybody. You cannot be disrespectful to anybody in our church. If you do it, you are gone. I'm going to fight you with everything I have. Why? Because there are many who are praying and fasting that the people should come to their churches and they are not going and they are coming here and you now have an attitude. Who gave you the right? Moses had an attitude with the children of Israel. He said, what shall we do again for you? Every time you ask for water, God said, it's time to come home. That was the final thing for Moses. Why? Because he had an attitude. God himself wanted to kill them by himself. He should have allowed God to kill them himself. But God said, they are my people, I can kill them. But these people, they are not your people. So you have no right to kill them. You cannot put up an attitude. Hallelujah. I'm sorry to say this. That's why I love America. Because in America, everybody is looking for any way to make some things work. In London, they are telling you, I'm afraid it's not going to work. And I'm saying, what will it not work? It will work. If you work it. I'm afraid. That's what the first thing is. I say, you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid. Can you please make it work? Hallelujah. Attitude. Many years ago, I bought a pair of shoes for my wife. And I think I bought it from Marks and Spencer and I took it home. And it was just not okay for her. And 2 months or so later, I came back. And I went to return it. And the girl was looking at me. And I said, when did you buy it? I said, I can't remember. I said, does it matter? I said, it doesn't fit. Take it back and give me the money. And the guy looked at me and he's like, are you from this area? And the man was looking at me. I didn't realize that something was wrong. Because I just felt that, what's the big deal? It doesn't size. He said, can I see your supervisor? I said, okay, fine. And he called the supervisor. And the guy happens to be a Nigerian. And the guy looked at me and was talking. He said, where do you live? I said, I live in America. He said, no wonder. I said, what do you mean, no wonder? He said, no, we don't. You don't bring things back like this. After 2 months, you bought it. I said, this one, I brought it back home. Even if I've worn the shoes in America for a month, I can take it back. They say, why? They say, I just don't feel good about it. Hallelujah. The reason why people go to some stores is because of the attitude, the return policy. My wife loves that. Anytime she's buying anything, say, what's your return policy? Let's discuss that before we buy things here. And it's all about attitude. Why? Because they would rather give you a new pair of shoes than for you to mess up their image. What does it cost, a new pair of shoes? They give it to you. Even with the old one you brought, they say, it's okay. I take everything away. I've gone to some places, they serve you, they serve you some meals and you don't like the meal. And I say, this meal is not okay. What I ordered for is not what I give you. And I say, oh, I'm sorry. And that's the end. And at the end of the day, they bring you a check. And they say, oh, you have to pay. I pay for what was not. No. In most restaurants, I know. You go back, they say, you don't like that. You take it away. What do you want? Attitude is the key. It changes attitude. And finally, you must improve your confidence. If you are going to reposition yourself, you have to improve your confidence. I'm not talking about arrogance, but I'm talking about confidence. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Hebrews 10, 35 says, cast away not your confidence, which has a great reward of recompense. There's something about, confidence. It's good to be confident of what you know you can do. If you are going to reposition yourself in life, there are some interviews you will go for and they will ask you about some things. You must be sure you can do it and you must be able to tell them you can do it. Improve your confidence. Hallelujah. Something about Zacchaeus was that he was confident about himself. He knew what he wanted and he went for it. If you know what you want in life, why don't you go for it? Improve your confidence. Don't let anybody bring you down. Hallelujah. Let me share this story with you. You know what David said concerning Goliath in 1 Samuel 17? He said, who is this man making so much noise?
said, I'll bring him down. He said, he's a man of war from his youth. He said, that doesn't matter. He said, I've seen God do some things in my life. He said, this one, I'll bring him down. That's confidence. I went for an interview. I think it was in 1991. They were looking for a treasurer in a company, an international company. And I studied accounting. So I applied. And because I had just gotten married, I moved homes. So I couldn't get the letter of interview on time until a month after. So when I got the letter of interview, I said, oh my goodness, this is good. So I went to this company. And the secretary looked at me and she was just making so much trouble for me. But I knew that I had to pass through her if I was going to see the boss. Just like Zacchaeus did. And the more I was talking to her, the more she was just resisting me. But I looked at her face and the way she was dressed, and I knew that she was a Christian. I said, are you a Christian? She said, yeah. I said, me too, I'm a Christian. I said, so what's your problem? You're a Christian. I want to see your boss. He said, oh, 1 month for the interview. Oh, they must have picked whoever they wanted. I said, let the man tell me that, not you. As God would have, you know, will have it, the man came out and he was asking for something from her. And I said, excuse me, sir, I've been waiting here for a while. This lady will not allow me to see you. The man said, what is it about? I said, oh, I'm here for an interview. I got this letter from you and, you know, I moved home. And the man said, oh, that's a month ago. I said, yeah, but I just got it yesterday. The man said, okay, do you want to have the interview right now? Are you ready? I said, why not? He said, come to my office. And as I was going, I looked at the woman. You know what I was not born again that time. I know you've done that, so, you know, a few times. So the lady was looking at me. Okay, go. So I went in. So I sat down, we're talking. And the guy was interviewing me, and I was answering the question. And after a while, he said, where do you see yourself if you are employed in 5 years? I said, in 5 years? In this company? He said, yes. I said, I will have taken your job. The guy looked at me and said, are you serious? I said, yeah. He said, tell me, why would you have taken my job? I said, you are my next reporting line. I report to you. There's no way I'll report to you in 5 years that I will not be promoted. My next line of promotion is your seat. I said, so in 5 years, I will have taken your job. Unless I don't know what I'm doing. And unless I'm not giving 120%. And the guy looked at me. He said, that's strange. Nobody has ever answered like that. He said, I think you are the guy we are looking for. Your confidence in the gift and the ability that God has given you will take you far. Many of us, Africans, we were raised up not to look at people in the eye. It was a bad teaching. Because if you attend an interview anywhere in the West and you don't look at people's eyes, the first thing they are writing is that you don't have confidence in yourself. Meanwhile, in our culture, it's a sign of rudeness. Confidence to be able to say, I know I can do it. If you are looking for the man, I know I can do it. Joseph said to Pharaoh, he said, what you need to do right now is that you need to find a man who will manage everything that I've told you. He had confidence in his abilities. And Pharaoh said, who can find the man? He said, you are the man. He said, you are the man. You can create the life you want for yourself with the confidence that God has given you. You can decide to live where you are and move to the next point that God intends you to be with confidence, not with arrogance right now. In 2 years, I was sitting on that man's chair and the lady that almost refused me to have the interview became my secretary. And I had a chat with her. And the chat was, if I fire you now, what will you say? Because you almost refused me to get this job. He said, you know you're a pastor. Now you know I'm a pastor. Hallelujah. As we round this up, I want you to know that you can create the life you want. God being with you, you can. You can. As a church, you can decide that you are going to be different. Even though you are in Milton Keynes, you can be different. That whenever anybody else concerning this church, they say, ah, that church, they are different too. They are different. You can. Why? Because God has given us the ability. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Hallelujah. It's time for you and I to reposition ourselves to move to the next level. Shall we rise on our feet?